Welcome to another episode of Mirepoix Taste Buds. We're your buds, Melissa.
And Emily.
And Mirepoix is a podcast all about food, our daily lives, and how they intersect. And today we have a real fun one. I feel like this was our childhood, basically. And it's all about Pop-Tarts, baby.
Yeah, because guess what? They are turning 60. The big 60. Yes, this kind of blew my mind. I don't know why I thought they were, again, a more recent invention. They just seemed like they were made for me. I don't know.
Yeah, we just talked about the Heat Burrito, and Pop-Tarts are somehow older than a Heat Burrito. That just doesn't sound right.
No, it does not sound right. So last year, apparently, 2 billion were sold. Billion. Which I thought, again, that these were not that popular anymore. But I was wrong. I have so many misconceptions and misnomers that I just had to bring this to the pod because we need to shed some light on these babies. So
absolutely.
They became a bit of a cultural phenomenon and have inspired murals, artwork, SNL skits, museum exhibits. Literally, there's were murals in Chicago in a collaboration with the MCA and Claes Oldenburg. And that also made me realize that the MCA had a different location pre-1996 that was a few blocks away, which I did not know.
What?
Yes.
That's wild.
I know. They also demolished that building, and it used to be like an old like 1900-something bakery, and it was just like, what the hell?
Super random.
So there was a mural that was actually created in conjunction with an exhibition for Claes Oldenburg back in the 60s, and there was a giant 36-by-20-foot Pop-Tart, unfrosted, the original kind of like look, pre-frosting.
That's huge.
It was huge. I saw a photo of it. We'll link it in our link tree or something. But it was unveiled on November 17th, 1967, where coffee and models of the monument were served.
What?
Hilarious. Also, SNL skit. Totally forgot about it. But literally the one with Chance the Rapper, that was maybe last year. There's a skit that's like Toaster Pop-Ums. It's like kind of like an off-brand, but it's a shout out to a Pop-Tart. Let's be real.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Also, we'll link that in the link tree. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. It's pretty funny. And there was also a museum exhibit in Sweden's Museum of Disgusting Food, which was in 2018, where 80 food items from 35 countries were presented, and Pop-Tarts were among them.
Wow.
Which is interesting. But it was also interesting because root beer, Twinkies, and a few other like American items like Rocky Mountain oysters or jello mold salads with tomatoes, olives, and grapes were included, which like the last ones are gross.
Yeah, these are all kind of terrible.
Well, root beer is not terrible.
Root beer is great. Twinkies are gross.
Twinkies are gross. Root beer apparently tastes like toothpaste to other like cultures or something.
Toothpaste?
That's what they said. I was like, sarsaparilla? What do you mean?
Yeah, well, back in the day, wasn't sarsaparilla kind of used for that? Or am I completely imagining that? I feel like it had like a slightly medicinal use or something. Mm-hmm.
We'll have to do an episode.
But still, very bizarre. It's so sweet. It's hard to imagine that ever being mistaken for toothpaste.
I agree. And it's actually, the exhibit was supposed to like shed light on like how our food systems are not sustainable and like the fact that we eat meat like needs to eventually phase out. And they were trying to like shed light on like alternate meat sources like insects or like other things like that. So there was a bigger point to the art, which made me feel like that was a little bit more highbrow. So I liked it, but
sure.
Interesting.
What are Rocky Mountain oysters again? Sidebar.
Testicles. They're goat cow testicles. Some sort of animal testicle.
Yeah.
Something you don't want.
I knew it was something weird and organy.
Yeah. In our episode where we interviewed the owner of Hatched, that was one of the things he didn't want to eat. And I was like, fair. Me too.
Very fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anywho, there's also soon to be a Jerry Seinfeld movie next year coming out that's called Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story, which is going to be on Netflix, and it's inspired by his joke about Pop-Tarts, which basically was, stuck at home watching endless sad faces on TV, I thought this would be a good time to make something based on pure silliness. So we took my Pop-Tart stand-up bit from my last Netflix special and exploded it into a giant, crazy comedy movie. Sounds like a great premise to me.
I know. When I found that out, I was like, has like pertinent news. Like, it's not just like Pop-Tarts are a very fucking old and turning 60. Like, they have a movie coming out and you need to know. Okay?
They are trending, baby.
Okay. They are. Okay? So the Netflix teaser gives you this. Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A tale of ambition, betrayal, sugar, and menacing milkmen.
They're really like on a kick of this like food origin story dramas lately with like Cheeto story thing and now this. It's like
I forgot about the
whole genres being created.
It's like made for us again though. It's perfect.
100%.
Yes.
Fodder for a podcast. Mm-hmm. So is it true? There are a couple of elements that are true that we used to begin the story, which is that Post came up with this idea and Kellogg's heard about it and said, well, we got to do the same thing.
Which is how most things go.
Yeah.
It's a race to who can do it first and best.
100%.
Well, the best part is that it does seem to have a solid cast. Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Amy Schumer, Hugh Grant, just to name a few of the top billed people. So I will definitely be tuning in, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And there honestly is a whole video that talks about him developing that joke that started it all. And supposedly it took him 2 years to write, which is crazy.
I feel like I don't even know what this joke is, so I'm going to have to watch a clip.
I will link it. It is linked in these notes for you, buddy. It is.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I had to find it too because I don't know if I had seen it. And I was like, wait a second, I got a deep dive.
Yeah. So one bit and you're making a whole movie. It must be good.
Also, 2 years to write a bit about Pop-Tarts. Like, that's.
Yeah,
nuts.
What?
That, like, blew I don't my understand. Mind.
Comedy's weird.
Yeah. He also revealed that he writes everything longhand on like yellow legal pads with like a blue. Bic clear barrel pen. That's like his like thing. And he
I
said
could see
that
him being old school like that.
100%. He said that him and Larry used to write all the Seinfeld episodes out too. And I was like, that's so crazy to think about writing all of that out longhand. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just blows my mind.
I went to school for a lot of time.
Yeah. I went to school for writing and your hand, my God. It's a lot of writing.
A lot to sift through. And then you're basically gonna have to like transpose it into something at the end of the day anyways. So like that's why.
Oh, you just pay a scribe. Come on.
I mean, yeah, you definitely have people to do it for you, but it's literally like, I don't know. Seems like there could be a better way.
Yeah, I don't disagree. He said that in an interview. I really watched a lot of videos with Jerry Seinfeld after this.
He said down a hole. Love it.
Really did. He said in one of them that the blinking cursor staring back at you, like, what's that all you got? What are you gonna say? You know, like that's too much for him. So like, I get that because there is a definite like thing of it just looking at you blinking. That's like, God damn it, I gotta write something.
Yeah, I feel like writing is like so much more stream of conscious sometimes, and like I don't know. It's much easier for me to just like put it all on paper and then like redact and edit and do what I need to do and
barf it out.
Mm-hmm. I can write a lot faster than I can type too, so it's easier.
Yeah, don't stress yourself out about starting. It's just like a matter of just like word vomit and then cleaning it
mm-hmm.
up.
Yep.
So a little bit about the history. So again, amazed that these are old school. First of all, the history section on their website is straight braggadocious. And quite frankly, I think a dig at Post, who actually came up with the concept. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, the way they wrote this is just like, ooh, sassy. So the original concept was just a fruit-filled pastry that wouldn't spoil and didn't need to keep in the fridge. So
apparently this is actually a big thanks to dog food innovations. And back in the 1960s, a brand new concept of dog food was introduced, which involved a slightly moist product that did not need to be stored in the fridge. And it was the perfect invention for a breakfast snack. And it meant that there could be an option to eat a more flavorful product that could be kept on the shelf without necessarily having to own a refrigerator. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Who knew dog food would be the like key to that also?
Yeah, right? So random.
So random. So, on Pop-Tarts' website, this is what they say. The whole Frostin' truth. People think they know the history of Pop-Tarts, but the Frostin' fact of the matter is, they weren't there. It's true.
Snap.
Others may have attempted the art of the toasted pastry, but only one perfected it. So come for the throne if you want. But with close to 100 unexpected flavors under our flaky crust and over 5 decades in the game, we'll continue to change the world one blue box at a time.
That is shots fired, throwing down the gauntlet for sure. Like, right? So sassy.
Yes.
Come for the brand. Throne if you want.
I know. Like, straight up threatening.
That's incredible.
I actually ironically just read an article today about how all these brands are like trying to commune and like bond with Gen Z, and they're just like trying too hard. And I was like, this might be case in point, one of these situations.
100.
At one point, they used the word dope, and I was like, stop it, Pop-Tarts. Just stop.
Yeah, no. Who do you think you are?
Yeah, you're trying.
Especially, I don't know, on your brand one website, like, it's one thing for, like, Wendy's to have a witty Twitter account, you know?
Yeah.
It's a whole other thing for them to, like, have, like, you know, that in their corporate messaging and their corporate website.
Yeah, it's a little much. It's a little much.
But whatever. Now, I mean, live your life. Every brand has their own identity these days. So.
I mean, they are going for the young ones, but...
True. Also true. That is their audience and their market.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have some dignity, Pop-Tarts. All right. But Post, yeah, they really unfortunately botched their product rollout in 2 major ways. One... After promising the pastry, Post took months tinkering with it in the lab, allowing Kellogg plenty of time to concoct its own version.
Fools.
And two, some Post execs decided to name the things Country Squares. They later tried rebranding them to Toastums, but alas, it was too late. Squares were dweebs, losers, and they could never recover.
Yeah, rough, rough go.
That was, yeah, dumb marketing on their part. Like, you should know. I know. Better. Those are, like, two bad word choices. Like, country, old. Nobody wants old timey.
Dusty. Yeah, old timey. Dusty.
Squares, lame, boring. Everyone likes round things.
I mean, literally, a square is, like, a loser. Like, you,
yeah, I mean, literally. I wonder if it was, like, in the vernacular at the time, or if that was just, a little bit 60s? Later by the time they released it, you know?
Nah, man. Even the 50s, I feel like. Freaking Fonzie.
Yeah,
and all
you were totally
shit.
Squares back then in the 50s for sure.
Yeah, like that's like a dead ringer for a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, but it's square. What else are we going to call it?
Yeah, rectangle's too long. So in 1963, this is what their website also says. Kellogg wants to revolutionize on-the-go toast and jam and puts their test kitchen on the case after they hear Post has this concept in the works, of course. So they were originally called a fruit scone, which is also a terrible name.
Terrible name. That's not a scone at all.
No, exactly. And like scones are, again, very dry, like not a fun thing. Yeah. No one's like, yes, give me another scone. Like very rarely. Very rarely.
True.
So they, of course, changed the name, thank God, and took a page out of the pop art movement that was big at the time, thanks to Warhol, and went with Pop-Tart.
Genius.
Which,
honestly, brilliant.
Did not realize the name had anything to do.
The pop art movement?
Yes, the pop art movement had no clue.
Why would you think that a food has derived its name from that? It's so random.
I do not know.
Topically, brilliant.
Yeah, it really worked.
Yeah. In 1964, the first 4 flavors hit the market in Cleveland, Ohio. Random, also. They were strawberry, blueberry, brown sugar cinnamon, and apple currant. The apple currant later became the classic apple because literally no one has ever seen a currant, which is literally what it says on their website. Absolutely incredible. Completely dead over that, but so true. Don't know what a currant looks like. Couldn't picture it if you tried.
We literally tried to plant some currants in our garden this year, but we forgot to water them and they died. But I thought it was really funny also because I was like, didn't really think about currants before we tried to plant them in our garden. But yeah,
is that
haven't
fruit?
Seen one. Yeah, it's like a little berry.
Berry.
Well, I don't know. If I ever plant it again and they survive, I'll let you know.
Yeah, you let me know what it looks like. I definitely thought it was like a root or like a vegetable or
it's
something.
Definitely,
I don't know,
it's definitely like a berry. Because I read something also that said they pivoted to an apple berry and just called it like apple berry for a while. And then they finally just made it apple because no one really cared about the apple berry part.
Yeah, but, who cares? Apple's all that matters.
Truth. Truth. In 1965, they go national. 1967, they go icy. In 1968, sprinkles come into the picture. 1971, they get a new mascot, Milton the Toaster.
What?
He did not last long, and they have scrubbed the internet of anything about this fucking mascot.
Was he racist? Way? What happened?
I think he might have been, because like I literally was like, oh, there's another video. Like, let me see. And like, granted, I did not go like on a deep dive on like trying to search on YouTube, but every link I would click on that was in any article I found would be like 404, page not found. There is nothing here. There is no video.
What are you hiding, Kellogg?
Right? I'm like, what did this toaster do?
Dang, that's wild. I really want to find that now.
I know. I'm going to probably try and do some more searching now that I have more time. But yeah, I was like, what is going on?
Food archives.
Yes.
Also, what did this mascot even do? Like, he was just on all their ads and TV commercials?
Yeah. Okay. I saw like a picture where like the video was going to play and it was like a little toaster that had like a weird little nose. And someone made like a joke about how he wasn't like the brave little toaster and he didn't have a blanket best friend and yada yada yada. And I was like, oh, brave little toaster.
Wow. Yeah. I need to watch that. I've been wanting to watch that for a while now. Gonna have to look
that up. It was giving nostalgic vibes to that. And I was like, why can't I just see what this Milton the Toaster was about? It was maybe he was the inspiration for the brave little toaster. Maybe not. Maybe he wasn't. Yeah. I don't know. It was problematic though, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Hilarious.
I know.
Carry on.
I'm sorry. So in 1973, they went from 4 to 19 flavors. In the 80s, they start doing bigger boxes, which just seems unnecessary if you're asking me. They went from like offering like 8 in a pack to then like 12 in a pack to then like 24 pastries in a box. Like, stop.
24 is too many. 12, it is too many. Like, max.
This is like a Costco life. Like, unless this is Costco, you should not be getting 24 of anything like that. Or, what is this, a case of beer?
Sleeve?
Yes. Yes. So yeah, it's a thing of 12, 48. I think, though. 24 pastries, I think. I don't know. If it's 48, that is absolutely too many.
Right? That's crazy.
Yeah. So in 1994, apparently they had a cereal, which I do not really remember the cereal.
I do kind of vaguely remember that. I feel like it was very short-lived, though, too. It was probably terrible for you. I mean, not any of the other cereals on the market are that much better, but...
That's also very true. They had a commercial that... I tried to watch and it was cringe. I was like, I can't even get through this commercial. It was literally like a boy playing like shitty guitar in his garage and trying to like write a jingle for the cereal. And it was just like, this is the grunge vibe. I can't. This is too much.
Man, early 90s food commercials may be my favorite because it's like, you know, it's like the Bagel Bites commercial. It's like, I feel like there's so many good ones. It's always like some weird, cringy song. It's good stuff.
I do remember the 2000s. So in 2004, they did the tagline, crazy good. That came into the picture. And I do remember those commercials and that like little like animation.
Because they're so wild.
Yeah, they are. They're aggressive. It's amazing. So good marketing there. Mm-hmm. And in 2007, they were doing crazy like logo printed versions, which I'm already off the game again. I don't recall this.
Like on the actual...
Yeah, on the icing, they were doing like visuals and like cartoon characters and even like sports team logos and stuff, which I was like,
I feel like I vaguely remember that as well. I mean, I at least remember, I don't know. I feel like that was also the craze of like fruit by the foot around then too. Had, like the tattoos and the stamps and, you know, like.
Yeah, people did like that.
Fitting in that same time period.
Okay. Yeah. So 2014, they turned 50. 2018, they made Pop-Tarts Bites, which... are tiny versions, and I guiltily can admit that I did purchase at some point in time just for nostalgia's sake, because I was like, look, the tiny Pop-Tarts, it's adorable.
That honestly sounds even better, too, because the big ones are honestly just, like, too much, and I always, like, tuck off the edges anyway, so it was like, the bite-sized one sounds much more.
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to say, is there too much of an edge?
Oh, my God, 100%. They're so... Who wants the edge? Put the frosting all the way to the edge. I don't want this dry, flavorless, short. They are very basically.
Yes, powdery. I watched an interview of a taste test, and someone was saying that the like strawberry ones taste like vanilla, and it's like a different dough flavor. I was like, I don't think that's even true. I was like, I don't think so. But I do like the crust on the strawberry ones because it's like almost too much filling sometimes.
Well, those ones are jammier. The problem is I really only like the brown sugar ones. Mm-hmm. And those are much drier because it's not like an actual like jam inside. That's and it's so not true. Like the other ones that have like the drizzle icing top or anything like that. So like, if you're talking you have jammy ones or where there's like the icing packet, that's a little different.
What? Icing packet? Isn't that toaster strudel?
Oh, that's toaster strudel. You're right.
Yeah.
Forgot about those. Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
In my mind, I just like assumed they were the same and replaced them.
Frosted or not frosted? Do you even fuck with the not frosted?
What's the not frosted one?
There's ones that literally have no frosting. They're just like a naked Pop-Tart on top.
Ew, absolutely not. Definitely frosted. I don't think I've even ever entertained the thought of an unfrosted one. Actually, I feel like I've had the unfrosted, like, strawberry ones, potentially.
Right? Yeah.
Because, like, again, like, if it's a jammy inside, I feel like that makes up for it. But, like, the brown sugar one without the frosted part sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's too dry again. So dry.
Yeah.
That's real. Well, the most popular flavors are frosted strawberry and frosted brown sugar, so we're apparently in the right. Yep. They are the best-selling flavors. S'mores is in third.
I did like s'mores a lot, too. That one was my other favorite.
That one is too much for me. I'm not a huge s'mores fan, though, so this is also,
I mean, it tastes nothing like s'mores, I would say, but... But I could see how you could say it's too much. It's like, I don't know, it's a lot of flavor. It's very sweet and sugary, you know?
100%. Like, Food Network has video of people test tasting them, and when they ate the s'mores one, they're like, I just feel like there's too much going on. There's just so much going on.
And there is like, it's a lot.
100%. I don't disagree with them. There was also another article I read that was like, I think Thrillist, I don't even know where I read it, but they literally ranked brown sugar and strawberry at the end, and I was like, you're an idiot. I was like, I'm not even reading this article. And they're like, I'm probably gonna get a lot of hate for this. And I was like, yes, you are, because that's the dumbest comment I've ever read.
Absurd.
You are in the minority. You are in like the very small minority of thinking that's okay. I just want you to know.
No, yeah, it's brown sugar all the way. And even Seinfeld knows. He agrees. He said that he still liked to eat 2 brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts with a glass of milk, and there's nothing better.
It's true. You've got to have the glass of milk, and you do have to toast it, in my opinion.
Yeah, the brown sugar ones really are better toasted, but they're also, I think, the only one that I would ever really eat not toasted. But I would definitely take off the edges. If that makes any sense at all. Like, I don't know, like the strawberry one, I probably would always toast that. I would not eat that not toasted.
Yeah, that's real.
It's complicated. It's just not as good.
I don't know. I do like the not toasted. I like the strawberry not toasted sometimes. I don't know. Like those little baby ones, those little bites, I didn't toast those. And they were delicious.
Yeah, I feel like the bites might be different. I haven't tried the bites, so I'm going to have to... Do they still sell them? Can I seek them out?
I think so. I feel like I bought them, like, it was during the pandemic. I can't remember where I saw them, but I was like, I'm buying these. I don't even care. Let me try them. Addictive.
For sure. But let's get into the fun facts, my favorite part. So, Joey Chestnut, the perennial winner of Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which is disturbing that there can be a perennial winner of such a
thing. Yes, you should be dead.
Yeah, I don't know how you're not already.
Yeah, you're not.
He apparently ate 100 Pop-Tarts in 30 minutes a few years ago. Horrifying. Mm-hmm. His favorite flavor was s'mores, but it was literally 20,000 calories and 1,600 grams of sugar. Holy smokes. That's like death in a box. That is like instant diabetes for sure. That's crazy.
There's also a video, I'm pretty sure, of him doing this, and I literally started watching it, and I was like, I can't watch this. I can't do this. This is disgusting.
Did he take off the edges? Did he toast them?
I can't remember. I think he actually might have done something. I think he was toasting them. I don't remember.
Seems like a waste of your minutes. How are you going to eat 100?
And I think he was putting them all on plates, like heated up and like stacking them in front of him. And then he like goes. It was a lot. Yeah.
That's wild.
So in 2001, the Air Force actually sent Afghanistan aid in the form of Pop-Tarts and herb rice to promote goodwill. Air quotes around what? That, because I'm not really sure if you can call these aid. They're not really a food thing. Like, how much health is gained from eating Pop-Tarts?
Zero health.
Zero nutritional negative value. Negative health.
Yeah. It's like almost a fuck you, but okay.
Yeah, that's like, I think it was like sneakily a fuck you. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also like a treat. I mean, you could see it as a good thing. And like, you know, I'm sure people loved them. It brought great joy. But
I mean, yeah, you can't frown at sprinkles. It's pretty hard, but.
Yeah. Still seems fucked up.
Definitely. In 2010, Pop-Tarts joined peers like M&M's in New York's premier sensory overload, Times Square. Pop-Tarts World was 3,200 square feet of pastry action. They had hourly light shows, supposedly, that simulated frosting. There was a vending machine that let you build your own Pop-Tart pack. And a cafe that served sushi, air quotes again, which was really... three kinds of Pop-Tarts, minced, and then wrapped in a fruit roll-up. What?
Oh, my God. These people are wiling. That is
too much.
Crazy.
Too much. You've gone too far.
Hourly late shows was already too much. You lost me there. And then a vending machine where you could build your own pack. That's actually pretty cool.
That's
I could see that being successful.
Yeah, I'm interested.
And then you lost me again with the sushi. Like, we're mincing them and wrapping them in fruit roll-ups.
I know. I read a couple of things that were like, they just smashed it into a log. And I was like, what? And then I found this one that said it wrapped them in a fruit roll-up. And I was like, that's even weirder. I don't know why. I don't know why you would want that. But it closed in 2011. Just very short-lived little burst of Pop-Tart action there.
Rats can't get it anymore. Missed our opportunity. You know, I have to make my own Pop-Tart sushi now.
Yes.
Remember, I kind of want to try making that just for gigs.
Shits and gigs.
Yeah. It's like when people, what do? They do something weird where they like, I don't know. They make some sort of weird concoction, and then the fruit roll-up somehow becomes like hardened, and it's like frozen somehow or something, and it's like this weird hardened thing, and I don't know. It's weird.
I'm sorry.
I'll try to find a video and send it to you, because it's like, okay. I don't know. I can't remember literally what it is, but it's like, I feel like it's like ice cream, and you know how they used to have like the chocolate syrup stuff that would like harden into the shell? It was like that, but somehow they did it with like a fruit roll-up, so that like the fruit roll-up hardens.
Crazy.
And becomes like a hard shell. That
you I'm interested.
Yeah, it was wild. But that's what it made me think of. I don't know why.
Gastronomy, I suppose.
Yeah. Weird fruit, food, you know, adaptations. Mm-hmm. Science.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Pop-Tart sales have gone up for 32 years straight. I mean, honestly, they've been improving it like every like 2-3 years. They're coming out with new crazy things. So I feel like they have been on top of their marketing game. And
I did read in an article that they like will release like batches of flavors at once so they can like compete in the market and like see like which ones do best. And that they also do like market specific ones. So it's like really depends on your area, like which ones get released near you, which is really interesting. So they do a lot of like market
testing. Their marketing strategy is like really good. It's interesting.
They're doing a lot. They're doing the most. I'll say that.
The unfrosted ones are actually worse for you somehow. I don't know how that's possible.
I don't either.
It's long been a matter of internet debate. How are frosted strawberry Pop-Tarts 200 calories where the unfrosted are 210? What are you putting in there?
I am honestly like very confused by that.
Do you think they are, like, overcompensating in the dough and trying to make the dough sweeter or something because there is no icing on it?
Maybe. They must be.
Or, I don't know. That's all I could think is, like, you're adding something to, like, give it more flavor and oomph.
I tried, like, reading up on it a little on the internet, and it was, like, everyone was just freaking out about it being true and, like, showing pictures of the boxes next to each other. And I was like, okay, guys, but I need to know why.
Well, good to know that I don't have to feel guilty for getting the frosted version because it's actually better for me.
Yeah, you sure do. That's right.
But I guess it's also a question like that's calories. What about sugar-wise or like nutritional values? Like that, it could technically be lower in other things, you know?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to find out.
Gotta compare by both boxes.
Yep. Which, another thing that people do is, like, a Pop-Tart taste test challenge where, like, they'll blindfold either parents or children. And then they'll, like, make them test, like, all the different flavors and see if they can get them right. There's, like, a billion videos of that on, like, YouTube and probably TikTok now, too. And I was like, this is really strange. But okay.
Apparently we should be doing it. Let's get on it.
Maybe we should. Absolutely.
I haven't eaten a Pop-Tart in, like, probably 20 years.
I don't know. Yeah. I hadn't had one in a really long time until I had those little bite ones. And I was like, oh, man, this is, like, taking me back, dude. This is weird. I didn't eat them all in one sitting because I was like, this is too much already. But yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently they can also be dangerous. Back in 1994, Texas A&M professor tested an assessment that Pop-Tarts could burst into flames like a blowtorch when left in a toaster for too long.
That's not a word you want to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if he set the toaster to its highest setting, jammed the lever down, and then watched as the pastries caught fire, sending up to 18-inch flames from the appliance.
Holy moly, that's a lot. Also, you're just going to, like, start a fire and sit back and watch? This is the proper technique?
The rest of the article went on to go say, like, if your toaster gets stuck in the down position, like, obviously don't, like, leave it unattended, like, blah, blah, bleep, bleep, bloop, and, like, ways to, like, safely toast these Pop-Tarts. And I was like, this is absurd. Very funny.
And then, of course, there's the age-old question, was there a Pop-Tart-flavored vodka? Everybody wants to know. The internet teased this, and honestly, there's some really funny content out there around this, but it is not real. There are many cocktails inspired by Pop-Tarts, though, like the Wildberry Pop-Tart Shot. So all hope is not lost. And they did a collab with A&W to make root beer and orange crush flavors. That's pretty wild. I don't know if those sound good, though.
No, they don't. I don't think they do. However, in 2013, Carl's Jr. had a Pop-Tart ice cream sandwich on the menu that sounds pretty legit. It was made with the classic strawberry toaster pastry and vanilla ice cream. And it sounds bomb. Like, I'd try it.
Yeah, that sounds bomb for sure.
Right. And, like, now that I think about, like, the A&W root beer one with vanilla ice cream, it'd be like a root beer float.
Okay, yeah, you got me there.
Or, like, a creamsicle with the orange crush. That could be good. Mm-hmm. Also,
okay, so they're, like, they're a dessert pastry that you need more sugar.
Yes. How can I make it more unhealthy and, like, a diabetic coma? Here you go.
Yeah.
But I actually was trying to Google the Pop-Tart vodka thing because I was like, is it true? Is it not? I was like genuinely confused if it was. Mm-hmm. And one of the videos I came across was these like two guys that was probably like 10 years old, like an old YouTube video. And the segment was called Will It Vodka? And they literally just poured vodka onto a Pop-Tart and let it soak into the Pop-Tart. And then ate the Pop-Tart, and that was the whole thing. And I was like, they're like, no, it's disgusting. It tastes terrible. And I was like, yeah.
I would guess. That doesn't sound good. But yeah. It'd probably just be so soggy and gross and just like start falling apart too. Like, no thanks.
And vodka is just a very strong flavor of vodka. Yeah,
so overpowering. There's like very few things that I feel like you can soak in vodka and have it be successful. The only thing I can think of is like, cherries.
Yeah.
The only
fruit
thing that I know of that people do
fruit
that with, you know?
And sorbet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100.
That could be good. Which I don't
why are count. People so about this Pop-Tart vodka is the better question. Like, why is that what we need? I think the Skittles vodka was like already a step too far.
Oh, 100%. One of the like memes that was like on like Twitter or now X or whatever the fuck you call that shit. Was now I don't have to choose between breakfast and like drinking or something, like, you know, like that was like
Jesus
the joke.
Christ.
Yeah, it was like an alcoholic joke that was like very dark, and I was like, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, woof. All right. Yeah. Interesting.
It was interesting. Interesting nonetheless.
In 2023, none other than Jenny's Ice Cream did a collab with Pop-Tarts and released a frosted brown sugar cinnamon ice cream flavor. That I would be down for.
I know. Sure. I really want to find it. Some stupid like internet blogger was like, thanks for sending me a few pints of this so I could make something with it. And they literally made deep fried ice cream that they put between it, and it looked disgusting. Whoa, they deep fried the ice cream with like panko and like flour, and then put it in between Pop-Tarts. And I was like, this is the, like, you just ruined this ice cream. I was like, why would you do this?
Yeah, why wouldn't you just eat it on its own deliciously?
Yeah. I was like, Jenny, send it to me. I will just eat it. Yeah.
Don't be wasted on these plebes.
Yeah, that are literally trying to kill themselves with ice cream.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't judge these people. You do you.
Yeah, I mean, live your life. Maybe it was delicious. You don't even know.
It was a really thick slice.
Deep fried ice cream is good, but I also find it just unnecessary sometimes. You know?
Yeah. It was really
like thick. I kind of just want ice cream.
I don't know. Yeah. And like to go through all the steps of like freeze the ice cream so it's really, really hard and really, really cold. Yeah. And then you gotta, it's like too much. Get out your three things to dip it in flour and panko and then flour. I was like, no. Just eat it. The pint. Open the pint and put a spoon in.
Yeah, 100. That's the delightful part of it. So, I don't know.
Yeah. So, everybody, get ready for that freaking Pop-Tart movie and brush up on your Seinfeld comedy so you know what he's talking about.
And that's the way the toaster pops.
Boom, baby. Well, another episode in the books, friends. Cheers to those nostalgic foods you just can't get enough of. I mean, millennials are still the people that are probably buying these things and keeping the sales in the $2 billion. Let's be real.
It's so true. Yeah, I feel like people are probably just purely buying it for the nostalgia nowadays. So many other like breakfast treats out there that it's like, do you need to buy the Pop-Tart? No, but it's nostalgically still a top tier treat. I'm going to have to go out and get me some tomorrow.
I do actually really low-key love the bougie Pop-Tarts that bakeries do have now, though, I must say.
Oh, true that. We didn't even talk about that. No. We've had some killer ones for sure from some bakeries in St. Louis, and I think I've had a couple in Chicago, I think, too. But those ones are, like, I don't know, so much better. They're not like as dry because it's obviously not like, you know, shelf stable like a Pop-Tart is, but
yes I had a pumpkin
pie. It would be fun, I think,
one.
To try to make those.
When someone was joking, it was like, you could still have the cereal, you just have to make it yourself. And they like literally like showed themselves like making a bunch of tiny little baby Pop-Tarts and then like putting them in a bowl, and I was like, Jesus. But no. they weren't wrong. So, cheers to getting creative and following your freaking 6-year-old heart dreams straight into a box of Pop-Tarts.
Well, cheers to that.
Cheers. Cheers.